Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. And now, here are Bob and Richard.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. I'm Bob Dancer.
And I'm Richard Munchkin.
Our guests today are Frank B., sports betting professional, and Anthony Curtis, publisher of Las Vegas Advisor and the Huntington Press. Today we are talking about Super Bowl prop bets. As you know, Super Bowl is Sunday the 2nd. We are taping this 6 days before the Super Bowl. So some of these bets will have changed, but by the time of the bet, but mostly we're not talking specific numbers. We're rather talking concepts as to how betting the Super Bowl is different than betting other games. Speaking of which, Frank, how's betting the Super Bowl different from betting other football games?
Okay, well, it's a regular football game has a certain menu of bets that are available for a regular game, a little more of an expanded menu for a TV game, Thursday, a Sunday, and a Monday night game. And Super Bowl, you can multiply that by about, 10 or 20, maybe more, as far as how many of those secondary bets are available. And those are the unique ones. So the ones that both the player and the odds maker don't have to deal with for the most part during the regular season. So we have some opportunities there because of the unfamiliarity on both ends.
Which gives knowledgeable players opportunity.
Correct.
All right. Now you have more sports betting outs all over the country now than you recently did. You can bet in lots of different states. Are these states putting up their own prop bets? Are they the same as what's in the rest of the country? What's the deal?
Yeah, every entity is putting up prop bets specific to them. For us, you know, in Jersey, you got DraftKings and FanDuel that we don't have here, and a few others. And their list, their menu of bets, is unique to them. You know, there's a ton of overlap. You know, everybody's going to put up the same general props. It's once you get through that and you get on to the next level, how creative are they going to be? How deep are they going to go, breaking things down? And that's where you look from place to place and you find the differences. And you say, okay, this place really is going for it. You know, like William Hill puts up 1,000. And other places will basically just do the minimum and not only put out just the very most generic of things, but they'll wait to put their numbers out so that they can verify that what they're using, the numbers they're using, is confirmed by other sports books. It's not too far off that they didn't make a mistake.
So are they enough different? Now, you are a Las Vegas resident, or at least much of the time you're here. Is it worth getting on a plane to go to New Jersey or Mississippi or other places to check out what they have during Super Bowl week?
Yeah. Since we're already really in the second full year of this, I would say the verdict is yes on that. And it's all about – it's mostly about the timing. Like, when should I be here and when should I go there? You know, Vegas is known. It's a known entity. Things generally start Thursday, Thursday after the championship the teams are decided. So, and usually Westgate's the one that kicks it off.
And you basically have to be there.
You don't have to be there. I mean, listen, Westgate's a sharp shop. They take bets of a decent size, and which is why guys want to be there. And also, they sort of set the market. So you will see a lot of guys there, same ones every year. They have a good bankroll behind them, and they're going to go in there, and they're going to make a lot of bets and set themselves up for the next day. But Westgate used to be number one in going up. It used to be first. They would put up any the props of any amount. It's not the case anymore. How many went up? South Point went up beforehand, right?
Yeah, South Point, I think, was up like a day and a half beforehand.
Yeah, and they start putting them up the day before. And then the full menu went up, I believe, at 2 o'clock. And they might have held some back and then put the rest up. But they put a whole bunch up at 2 p.m. Westgate went up at 7 p.m. Also, William Hill went up beforehand. And they put out more than anybody. They put up 1,000.
1,000 individual bets.
That's what they advertise. How they break it down, I don't know. If, like, they're counting both ends of the prop. I didn't add it up, but then also Station went up about the same time that Westgate went up. So, you know, Westgate isn't really the first out, and FanDuel and DraftKings start putting them up on Tuesday. And I was in Mississippi on Tuesday morning, and Beau Rivage there were starting to put theirs up, including players, which is the one that you're really taking the risk on, is the player stuff.
So it used to be at the Westgate, you could make a limited number of bets on the opening day, and then you have to go to the back of the line again and work your way back up again. Is that true anymore? Apparently, if everybody's already had lines out, that wouldn't be true anymore.
It is true. Yeah, you get in line, you bet two, get to the back of the line. And this year it took, I was somewhere, I would say right around the middle of the line, maybe a little ahead of that when I showed up. It took me 20 minutes to get to the window. So the guys in the back probably one full go through the line took 40 minutes before anybody got a second shot. It's a lot of time to wait to make bets when other places are going up all over town. So you got to make choices, you know.
What about offshore? Are there a lot of props offshore, and do you investigate those?
Absolutely, but they go up after. You know, that's the one. That's the one market that, you know, usually offshore is better than land-based in every regard. But when it comes to Super Bowl props, they wait. They don't put them up right away. You know, there's most places that are second tier, I would say. They're still not up. You know, Five Dimes and Chris, their stuff is up. But all the other ones, the ones that a lot of guys have, they still aren't up right now, as of if it's Tuesday.
Now, I got a question about regression to the mean. In the two playoff games so far, Jimmy Garoppolo has passed, 8 times and 19 times. And his over-under line on the Super Bowl is 29 times. It seems like it would be an easy under bet because he doesn't pass very much. And so that would I would assume on that you would bet the over. So how do you analyze this?
Well, yeah, they had just had an easy time of it, 2 games in a row where they took the lead and all they had to do was run the ball. And, you know, if people want to interpret that as Jimmy G is, you know, they're trying – it's the way to win the game. When you're ahead, you burn the clock, as – that old coach on NFL film said, you matriculate the ball up the field and you shorten the game. So they did exactly what they're supposed to do. Now, if you think they're going to fall behind, he's not going to throw 8 passes or 18 passes. You know, it's going to be up near that number and maybe exceeding it. So a lot of it has to do with the way that you think the game's going to play out. I mean, if you think San Francisco is going to lead from start to finish, take them under. If you don't think that, then, you know, I made the line very similar to what the books did. Mine was 29.5. I think that was the number it was. So there's no difference there for me unless I can find some other way to get at it that gets me off of that 29.5 in one direction or the other.
And so another side of the same bet would be betting the most rushing yards. He had a career game against the Packers where he just ran and ran and ran. But the 49ers were ahead.
Right. That goes hand in hand. You know, they're ahead. They're going to run the ball. They lost Tevin Coleman. You know, he separated his shoulder early in the game. So now you got one guy that the coaches trust, because the other guy, the third guy, he had fumbled like almost literally the last 2 carries that he had. It wasn't – but 2 times recently he had fumbled. So Mostert's running good. You have to worry about the fumbling thing that Breida had. And so, yeah, just keep giving them the ball. They can't stop it, so why would you – that was how that played out. Now, is that going to happen anything close to that in this game? Probably not. I mean, you know, Kansas City is going to score some points. Are they going to score to the degree that, they have in these playoff games, these 2 playoff games prior? Well, we'll see. You know, San Francisco's got a very good defense.
I know when we were at the opening at Westgate, I was watching specifically those Mostert numbers. And they dropped – his number dropped, what was it, like 9 yards – in about 15 minutes. I mean, I think it opened somewhere around 80-something, and it was down in the 70s, or it opened 70-something, it was down in the 60s. Like in about 15 minutes. So everybody who was in there was like absolutely going under the total, and they were adjusting real quickly. So these guys all come with their ideas of how the game's going to unfold and play, and then, you know, they bet it accordingly like that.
And you got to understand, the reason that it took all that action under is that, okay, so they put 80.5, which was highest in the market. That means there was a market. That's because William Hill was out. South Point was out, and there were a couple offshores, including in the places in New Jersey in addition. Those numbers weren't close to that. They were as low as 67.5, maybe even lower. Wow. I think 65. So it wasn't absolutely that everybody had the opinion to bet under. They saw the middle sitting there waiting to be taken. They go, oh, wow, this is easy. Just take it under 80.5 all the way down to what's reasonable, you know, somewhere in the mid-70s. And, okay, now it's a question whether it's a worthwhile middle. But for, at 80.5 versus 67.5, sure, you do that all day long. So that's, you know, that's what most of them were doing.
Yeah, there were a lot of the guys that were there on Thursday night. They're guys who are looking for middles and scalps. You know, they're the guys that do this sort of thing. And they were pointing out, Frank and I got our hands on some sheets that other people didn't have because they were published online and nobody saw them. They came out right before they opened. We just happened to be in front of a computer. So we had the sheets, and a few of the guys come running over to look at the sheets. And they were pointing out like really big middles that existed, you know, between just between the William Hill and Westgate. They were pointing out, I think one was a 11-yard middle on receiving yards. You know, I mean, these things were right there, and if they could get it down on the app, or if they had a friend who was in one place and they were in the other, that's what these guys are trying to do.
Yeah, I think William Hill put up Sammy Watkins 67.5, and that's only because the recency bias. He had come off a big game. He had caught one big pass, basically. But everybody else, including my, like, I made him 45.5, I think, 46.5, I can't remember. And most of that's what he should be, upper 40s. But for whatever reason, William Hill put up 67.5. So as soon as that was seen, you know, 67.5 versus everything else, everything starts to call you, everything's like caving in towards the middle, you know?
Now, is betting the middle different in Super Bowls than it is in other games? Is it more likely, more common?
Oh, does it occur more frequently? Is it hitting a higher rate? Well, you certainly get more opportunities to bet a combination, you know, just because of the sheer volume of bets that are out there. I don't think it's any more or less likely, though, you know, given the same window that you're shooting at. You just get a lot more shots. So that's why these guys show up with bags of money, and they just, you know, it takes a lot of money to bet a middle, you know? Like, say you got two dimes here, two times there, and you got something that's worth 5%. Okay, well, you're in 4,400, 4,600, whatever it is it costs you, on to the next one. Just do that 20, 30, 40 times. I mean, you're in a lot of money, you know?
All right. These two teams haven't been to Super Bowl very recently. No. Does that make it easier or harder to handicap? Or does there any difference?
Yeah, no, I don't think that matters at all.
Because in earlier ones, I remember you sitting here and talking about how hard it is to outguess Bill Belichick. Well, he's not a factor this year, but you wouldn't have that to worry about with the current coaches, I'm guessing.
Yeah, you know, the guys who are getting there for the first time, which is basically all the important Mahomes, Garoppolo, you know, everybody's so hot to say, oh, Mahomes is going to do great. I mean, that's his first time, but Garoppolo, maybe not, you know. Why? I don't know. It's something to talk about. But in the final analysis, I don't think it matters at all. That, I mean, it's just, you know, there's two teams. These are the players involved. These are the numbers that associate to them. And, you know, you go from there. I don't think that has anything to do with having been there before.
All right. How are the limits this year on prop bets? And how does this compare to how they were in previous years?
I would say it's actually – it's taken a turn for the better with all the competition out there. You have new guys out there like Circa and then all the Jersey places who, you know, they're not going to come out of the gate and be regarded as, you know, less than the others that they're trying to compete with and get a step ahead of. So Circa was really good. I think they were 2,000 over the counter, which is the same as what Westgate takes. It's pretty much – that matches the high in the city, I would say, for over-the-counter for player props and stuff like that. And then they were taking 1,000 on the app. Where else? South Point – I'm not sure what South Point's taking. Yeah.
I didn't look at the numbers there. Yeah.
I know that a lot of places it's significantly different what you can get down on the app versus what you get on over-the-counter. You know, certain books like Win, they're not even worth going on the app to try to bet because they just don't take anything over the app, and others can be equally squirrely. But I'd say overall it's as good or better than it's been in recent years.
Why would they be more nervous on the app?
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure of that. I think they're worried for the most part that they could be bearded in on, you know. So where when you go to the counter, they can see who we are. I mean, listen, you could beard that way too. But on the app, I mean, they have this certain element of control when you bet on the app. Like CG's notorious for it. Win has gotten really bad. Like there are things, secondary markets, where Win will only take $100. Like stuff in the NBA. NBA half or quarter, they're $100, $200. That's it. Why it's so low, I'm not sure. All I know is it's a pain in the ass to deal with. So a lot of guys just don't even bother with, you know, certain handful of books.
But then again, for the casual bettor, the apps are unbelievable. Because, you know, I mean, you don't have to get up and go to a place. And, you know, we were actually sitting there at the bar, contemplating getting back in line and both of us are looking at our phones going, are these up on the app yet? Are they up on the app? You know, so you don't have to walk around and get in line. And especially for Super Bowl Sunday, my goodness, some of those lines get so ridiculous that I can't imagine anybody, why wouldn't you just have the app and get your bets in, you know, especially casual players?
Yeah, that's absolutely the biggest value of the apps, because you can't bet on Super Bowl Sunday. Fading those lines, you're gonna spend an hour trying to make a bet, you know. So, you know, it's better if you got all the apps and you're all set up. I don't know any serious bettor that bets the props that goes out on Sunday morning, on Super Bowl Sunday. They're all sitting there with the apps, with the phones and the apps ready to go.
Are there still value to be found on Sunday, or the lines pretty well been hammered into place by then?
Yeah, most stuff is, but there are those bets, usually the players and bet types, that are the most popular with the public, that can get, you know, through sheer volume from the public, can get pushed to a point where, you know, that's, you know, we always talk about the safety better.
No safety, uh-huh.
Yeah, safety, no safety. And that's the one where, you know, if you're looking to bet no safety, you wait, because the public will push it. They'll bet safety. And they'll get more desperate to balance action. And also, a second important aspect is betting no safety costs a bunch of money. So if you have a finite bankroll, you don't want to blow it all off a week before Super Bowl on some bridge jumper bet. Maybe you wait. You see everything else that you want to get in, and then whatever's left over. Okay, I got nothing better to do with this. I'll put it on no safety. Find the best price for that. So that's how most guys approach that.
No fourth down conversion used to be a bridge jumper, but it probably isn't anymore. The number on that has changed a whole lot in the past few years, has it not?
Yeah, coaches get more aggressive. They realize the how correct it is to go for it in fourth down in certain situations where they had previously just punted. I guess that one would become more likely. But I'm guessing the price adjusted. That's not one that I really get on and go out seeking.
What are the things that you really look for?
Well, like we've discussed very big on the cross sport stuff. And that's because when you show up, you know, during what I call prop week, which was the week that just passed, coming up is the second phase, and the lines go up, well, nobody knows what they're going to put up on the other side of the cross sport. You know, everybody's prepared with one half of the bet, but the other half, they're not. So you got to be able to work on the fly and make lines for the NBA things, the soccer things, the really obscure stuff like the rugby and the, we were talking about before, the bean pot and all these other bets that they like to pit the football portion against. So those are the ones that I concentrate on, those and the player stuff that is not offered during the regular season that has a lot to do with tackles and kickers and punters and things like that.
You mentioned the bean pot. What the hell is the bean pot?
Okay. Yeah, this morning's been bean pot morning. So there's at least one place, and I've seen this in years past, so it's something. The bean pot is a little mini college hockey tournament that takes place, I believe it's the first and second Monday of February. So it sort of coincides with Super Bowl. It, you know, it's right in there. And places, in this case, William Hill, and I'm not sure who else. You have to go hunt it down. They put up a prop where they match something to do with the football game with something to do with the bean pot. And, you know, this year it's the bean pot. Total goals scored on the first Monday of the tournament. It's just a mini tournament. It's four teams involved, so there's two games played. So you're going to have an over-under of about 10, 10 and a half. That would be the number of goals scored. And so they try to pit it against something of a similar value. This year they did it. They put it up against kickoffs, which turns out to be a pretty interesting one because kickoffs correlate highly to the game total. And the game total has been a one-way train so far. It opened 51, and it now is 55. So that's moved a lot. So it turns out that this, after I took a look at it, it's a cheap way to bet the game over in a correlated manner. So I, you know, set out this morning. I spent my time trying to get some money down on total kickoffs in this beanpot thing because I believe kickoffs should exceed the total goal scored in the first day of the beanpot.
Are you trying to get beanpot into Anthony?
Yeah, I'll take as much beanpot as I can get.
Yeah, he's in for a percent of the beanpot.
So you've mentioned in the past that you like these cross sport things because they'll pit a player, say in the NBA, with something in the Super Bowl,
like a team,
and often you like these bets because one player can get injured, so easily affect these kind of bets. Are there other ways to be thinking about these types of bets?
Yeah, anytime you're dealing with an individual, you know, I think there's more variance in the number that you can make for them. For there's examples all like, okay, there's a good one right here. But this is one where they pitted a player against a player, but this illustrates one concept. So you have Raheem Mostert's rushing attempts, okay, which went off the charts last game. That was clearly his biggest carry game, but they'll make the number according to what it normally would be. But it's going against Zion Williamson points, okay? Now, Zion, up to this point, when they put this out, had only played two games. And since they're rolling him out after an injury, you look at the box score and the minutes played, well, it's not what he will end up getting normally for your average game. They're easing him in. So what you can expect is them to slowly increase his minutes. So if they made the line, which it appears they did, based on what he had done up to that point, they really were shorting Zion because they weren't giving him credit for, you know, if you add 30% more minutes, 20%, add that much more in points because that's, you know, that's how it works. Opportunity, it's minutes played, snaps, all these things are, you know, opportunity is what matters. Not, you know, that's how you try to calculate a difference in playing time. So they don't, I think they make the Zion high enough. So I wanted to bet Zion, but unfortunately somebody got it to it before me. It's moved from Zion pick against the rushing. Actually, Zion was plus a half against his rushing attempts. Now Zion's the favorite minus 3.5 last night, which is close to what it probably should be. You can't make too big a leap and say, okay, now he's going to, you know, go from averaging 17 points a game to 25. So I laid off that one. But that was a good one for whoever got that one.
Now, 1 week before the Super Bowl, there's a tragic death of Kobe Bryant. Are you expecting Kobe Bryant prop bets to show up?
Yeah, that's what he was saying this morning when we were walking, you know, we were walking in the South Point and he was like, they should be putting up Kobe props. You know, people would really get into it. And the question is, you know, is that considered bad taste or something, you know? But sure, it would be, those would probably be really popular and they'd probably be skewed toward Kobe, you would think, right?
Yeah. And I mean, you could set it up so you're almost giving away a free shot. Like you almost want the Kobe side to win. You know, I mean, if you lined it, like we were talking, like Kobe's farewell game, you know, you use the farewell in a dual way here. His farewell game was one that a lot of people remember. I remember I bet it because I go, he's going to shoot a bunch. And, you know, he ended up scoring, way up, like almost
70 something,
71 right? Points or something like that. Crazy. So, okay, what does the number 71 mean? In this game, there's a few players who are lined in the area 71, like George Kittle receiving yards, I guess. I mean, you could create some Kobe bets a bunch of different ways and set them up so that you know the public's going to bet on Kobe. And, you know, maybe you lower the limit on that and take some bets and, you know, goodwill. Those books that I would bet that the books in Jersey – well, at least a couple of them are going to do that. I bet they figure something out and they do that. They do it in some kind of an acceptable way.
Why Jersey and not Vegas?
Because Jersey takes a lot more risk with things like that. They're the ones that give back, like, hey, we'll give you the money back for because you got screwed out of some decision. You know, I can't remember. What was the last one they gave money back for?
Oh, I don't know. It was one of, it was one of the controversial ones. But, you know, we saw that with everything we did with Jersey, you know, when we did, worked with Mattress Mack, and we've, you know, that's been fully documented on the show. It just, the Jersey books are, in the Mississippi and the others, they're just coming out of the gate a lot more aggressively to try to, you know, stake a claim.
Well, Vegas had a monopoly for too long, and they got complacent, you know.
Vegas is, you know, a lot of what we found, again, that continues to go forward with a lot of these things is the Vegas guys feel kind of handcuffed, too, because of the Gaming Control Board here is, you know, been around so long, and they say they're kind of seen as being pretty inflexible, you know. So I'm not blaming it on Gaming Control, but I think that it, when you put it all together, Vegas sports books, you know, being comfortable where they are and then having problems with gaming that they don't want to fool around with. It just, you know, it's like a double whammy. It makes it a little bit more difficult. And whereas in the East Coast, they seem to have a little bit more flexibility and they use it.
Did I see that they're going to take Oscar bets in New Jersey?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Avello's at DraftKings and he's been making lines for nearly two decades. No, you know, you're not allowed to bet him. He makes them for like USA Today or whatever, whoever uses them. But yeah, I think they took them last year, and I know they're taking them this year. But there's a limit, okay. And I had heard this. I heard him talking this week, and I believe it's risk or return. The number, whatever the limit is, I want to say 100, but maybe it's 500. Whatever that is, that's it. So if something's minus 1,000, well, and then the limit's 500. Well, you can bet 500 to win 50. Okay, and that's just the way it goes. But at least they take them.
We keep saying East Coast, but Indiana just okayed it. You know, Indiana's going to take Oscar bets, and that was the news in the last couple of days. So as these other jurisdictions start to open up, it's not just going to be the East Coast. I think that a lot of them are going to go, okay, let's get more creative and let's do more things here to establish ourselves. You got Michigan now. You got Illinois. You know, now they're being a little bit sort of stodgy there. They're afraid of the online. They're not doing mobile, which just makes no sense when you look at the numbers. Something like 90% of bets in Pennsylvania and New Jersey are coming mobile. So anybody who doesn't do mobile right now is just nuts. And California has got two propositions on the table right now, finally, and they don't have mobile either. You know, it's just is crazy. And New York is not doing mobile. I mean, I don't understand these. But some of these other places that are, you know, you're going to find more opportunity in some of those jurisdictions.
Yeah. What about the election? You know, is somebody in America going to decide that it's okay in their state to allow that, and are going to take them up on it? Because people bet the election huge everywhere else but here. You know, they bet our election over in the UK, and so I mean, we were just mentioning Mac. That's his new promotion. His new promotion is when you buy that dollar amount of furniture that it was at $3,000 worth, instead of having action on a team, you put down on your sales slip whether you were Democrat or Republican. And if you're right, you get your furniture, you get half 50% back or 100% in store credit.
If you're right about who wins the president?
Which party?
Yeah. Yeah.
So he scoops on independent. That's the big. But to think about it, he's going to balance. You know, some people are going to pick Democrats, some are going to pick Republican. And unless he gets out of whack, he's probably, he doesn't really need to do anything. But what if he does and he wants to make a bet somewhere to sort of...
So his prices for furniture is going to be higher than other stores simply to... So that the average, so on average, he comes out okay.
Oh, you don't know that. It's the same and the other places just don't give anything back.
It's all about, you know, it's all about what the margin is with that. He doesn't necessarily have to raise his price if the margin is good and he's willing to cut into his margin, you know, where the others aren't. So I think his prices are like right there in line. And that's what makes him different.
And the other thing is, it's got to be over 3,000, which, you know, yeah. I think a lot of people who go buy furniture aren't spending over 3,000, but they may go there because they've heard of Mattress Mack and then.
And the specter of getting it for free.
Yeah. Well, no, the 3,000 ones. But what a lot of people didn't bring up is there was a whole lot of sales. And it's not just mattresses, he does furniture, you know, and there were a whole lot of sales under 3,000. So, because there was a $3,000 threshold to qualify for the return. So some people might stretch it out and say, okay, let's do it so we can, you know, become qualified for this. But you're right. A lot of people are going to go in there and go, well, I'm not buying $3,000 for any, free roll. I'm going to, you know, I only need this and this, and it's 1,200, and that's it. So, you know, there's a lot of that that nobody brought into that equation.
Well, and also this promotion you said is 50%.
Yes, half.
Back, which like might half. Be his markup on the furniture. Mm-hmm, you know what I mean? Right. So.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a brief commercial break, and then we're going to be back talking exotic prop bets and also where you can go for a Super Bowl party. The South Point has more than 10,000 games returning more than 99%. This is more than anyone else has. In February, the promotion is to earn free buffets. Play 300 points between 3 a.m. and 1 p.m. Monday through Thursday. Get a free lunch buffet. 300 more points also before 1 p.m. and you get a free dinner buffet. Otherwise, 600 points prior to 8 p.m. and you get the dinner buffet. The buffets are good Monday through Thursday, and you may collect and stack up your coupons. So if you go all 16 times and you have 15 friends, you can be the big spender on the last Thursday of February. If they have your email address on weekends, there will be a promotion where you play X and earn Y, such as play $200 and get $20 free play. How much you collect will be highly correlated with your mailer amount. They do this two or three times a year, so it pays to give them your email address if you're in Vegas on weekends. Our Tuesday, February 4th class of free video poker classes at the South Point is 9-6 jacks or better multi-strike. Multi-strike is a four-line game where you pay for all four lines at the start. You only get to play the second line if you at least break even on the first line. You only get to play the third line if you at least break even on the first two. And similarly, the top line if you break even on all three. Periodically, you get free rides, and so you move up to the next higher line, whether you earned anything or not. There are four separate strategies, because moving up at the bottom line gives you, it's not over at the end of the hand, because you get extra chances to win that you've already paid for. The game returns 99.72%, which makes it slightly positive 24/7 given the 0.3 slot club. At predicted.org, there's a market where you can place small bets on the occurrence of various political things, mostly but not entirely in the United States. The betting fluctuation on whether or not Trump will finish his first term has changed as the impeachment trial goes on. And so if you have strong opinions, it's currently, there's value there. The whether or not he will be the president in 2020 and win the election is now about at 40%, which is different. It was 50% not too long ago. Gambling with an Edge listeners receive a one-time offer of a deposit match up to $20. At predicted.org/promo/edge. You must play the money through once and cannot withdraw it for 30 days. BlackjackApprenticeship.com is an excellent site for those of you who wish to be successful at counting cards at blackjack. They're now taking reservations for their next boot camp in Las Vegas, which will be April 4th and 5th. It'll set you back $29.99. And you will get much better at card counting, and you will meet working pros. Within the past week, they have posted a new video of Can You Make a Living Playing Blackjack in 2020? And there's things to consider. For some people, the answer is definitely yes. At videopoker.com, it's the best place to play lots of games. If you sign up for the Gold membership, $8.95 a month, $79.95 a year. This allows you to get correction on most of the game. The game of the week is Face Card Frenzy. You may play this game anywhere from 6 coins per line to 10 coins, with the odds improving as you increase your bet. In this game, full houses, quads, including jacks, queens, kings, and aces, return a lot more than usual. To make the math work, all pay schedule categories are bumped up, meaning that you need an entirely new strategy to play this game. In addition, playing 6 coins per line is a different strategy than 7 coin, than 8 coins, etc. There are promotions where this is a good game to play, but it takes some work to get ready. All right, we are back to Frank B. and Anthony Curtis. What exotic bets did you find out there that you think are other than the bean pot that you thought was interesting, worth talking about?
Well, you know, they're pretty much all the cross sports stuff is going to be. So, you know, when you start to talk about these, you may only find this specific bet or a specific at one place. So it's not a place you have to you have to bounce a number off of and say, wow, this is better than that one. So these require handicapping and making a line for the crossboard portion of it. But there is a lot of NBA. I believe there's 4 NBA games being played that Sunday, and there's some good teams involved, including Houston, who has both Harden and Westbrook. And going back to the principle.
Harden and Westbrook injured.
That's what I'm about to say. Going back to the principle of, you know, when you're betting on an individual, you have to fade all those negative things that are associated with just one guy, including benching for whatever reason, in basketball, foul trouble, and the whole injury thing. So those are tough ones. When you make your line, if you find that you're on the other side of those guys, okay, and you have like the whole team, like certain number of first downs versus like points by Westbrook, whatever it may be, then you're on the right track. But if you find yourself on the other side, you need a real good reason to be backing a player versus a team. Now, player versus player, you're sort of in the same boat. But like Bob just mentioned, Westbrook now, along with Harden, I think he got banged in the thigh, whatever. They're both questionable health-wise, so it's real tough to bet on them, even though Westbrook lined up really good. Westbrook has been averaging 31 points in January, which is significantly above his season average. So he's on in a form right now where he's taking more shots and therefore he's scoring more points. So and that's what you really want to look for in these crossboards. You want to look where either something has changed recently that would give your guy or your side more value than what the long-term stats indicate. And one guy I found was Pascal Siakam from Toronto. And this is a guy who they have in points and rebounds going against Garoppolo pass attempts, which I think we talked about earlier. People are looking for a way to fade that. Well, in this case, you'd be betting on him because Siakam is a guy who his normal number for points and rebounds would be somewhere in the neighborhood of 31. But in the last month, his minutes are down a little bit, but just his production, especially scoring, is down. He only works out to about a 24 now instead of his 31 that his whole season would suggest. So when you compare 24, give it another point and a half, and put him up to 25.5. He's still way below what Garoppolo's number is, which is 29.5. And in that bet, you lay 1.5 with Siakam on top of it. So you catch a guy in bad form, and you're taking another player in this case in the matchup, and you got about a 5-point window there of advantage, in my view. So there's a lot of them, and you have to analyze them all. We're on UNLV 3-pointers next week versus what? What was the other side of that?
I forgot. Oh, points. It was the no. I don't remember. I don't recall.
Yeah, I can't remember all the stuff that we bet, but the list is endless there's a couple pages worth at Westgate worth looking at, and then at William Hill you got one solid sheet, and there's still some real good bets on there over at William Hill.
All right.
But will William Hill take any action? That's the problem.
That's the question. Yeah, like on the beanpot thing we were discussing before we started today, I had a hard time getting anything at all in on this beanpot bet, and it was getting rejected on the app. And then this morning, tried the counter, got rejected at the counter. And you do have to identify yourself once you bet a certain amount. So I'm not sure that that was part of it, but didn't take any chances, took no for an answer at one place, and then just started going around from place to place and betting it in smaller amounts until I, you know, accumulated enough that where they should have just took the one bet initially, and it would have been good, and then they would have moved the line.
I'm astounded you can still bet at William Hill anyway. I mean,
well, usually I don't, but and
no, I mean that they allow you to. They bar people so frequently that how is it you're still allowed to bet at all?
I've never really bet much on my app, except for I keep it loaded for Super Bowl, and usually then I'm able to get stuff in. But during the course of the year, I don't use the app there. I bet over the window.
I see.
To try to preserve, you know. And that's fine. I mean, even if they did cut me off, I wouldn't care because I would just go to the window. I mean, a lot of times when they back you off at these places, it's like the worst thing they could do if they do it to the wrong person. Because they'll come back five times as hard at them with beards. It's like, okay, you're going to let me bet? You let me bet a reasonable amount? We're cool. But, oh, really? You're going to throw me out with all these outlets you have and kiosk and count? You think I can't get at least that much in with a little more effort? Because you can. So it doesn't make any sense, really, to be backing people off. I don't know.
You know, it's a lot like the blackjack thing that some guys do, or, you know, take the blackjack ball, right? If you're in the Hall of Fame or whatever, then Barona treats you nicely, right? They give you comps, RFP, whatever, with the understanding that you don't gamble in there. And it was the same thing with making friends with casino executives up over the years. I've always said the smart casino executives make friends with the better players who then just don't really play in their joint. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So it's like, I think it's like that when you actually piss off some of these guys and you won't take their action, they find ways to retaliate as opposed to just giving them a square game and letting them bet a little bit would probably be smarter for them.
Yeah, and I think William Hill has actually changed the way they go about dealing with them. And it used to be they just back you off. And then they caught flack. You know, they were getting exposed publicly from various people, you know, Spanky giving crap and other guys, and it just became known. So now I think they do sort of like the Atlantic City thing where you're not backed off, but we're going to make it so difficult. Like, I can't get a bet in on the app of any substance on something I want, but I still have an account, you know, and it throw me out. And, you know, that's just like Atlantic City does. You know, hey, you know, here's a new table limit sign. It's $25 high and $25 low. But all you other people can exceed the max, except for that dude, except for Bob. You pay attention to that sign. The rest of you guys can exceed the limit. You know, it's like that. And I think that's, you know, a smarter way for them to go about it. They don't catch crap for backing people off. But you are effectively handcuffed significantly.
Yeah. You know, it's funny you mentioned that because I was talking to somebody who's coming in for the blackjack ball this year, and he was telling me that a casino here in Las Vegas has offered him that same thing. They're giving him a two-bedroom suite under the condition that he not play, mm-hmm. You know, which I think is really smart.
And they take it even farther. I mean, you know, I've got friends in the casino industry who run ideas past me, and I mean, it's not like I'm fingering individual people, but they'll say, look, we're thinking about doing this. Do you think it's vulnerable? And I tell them, I go, yeah, I think it's vulnerable because of X and Y and, you know, whatever. And others who have treated me bad over the years, I don't do anything to help them. I tell people about things I find there that go in. So I don't know. I mean, some people are more progressive than others when it comes to this sort of thing.
Yeah.
All right, Anthony. You specialize in such things as finding good places to watch Super Bowl.
Frank tells them how to win money, and I tell them where the beers are cheap. We get along well.
Well, good. Well, and Frank takes notes when you say that, so he never forgets. So, if assuming you don't get a VIP comp at some place, and you just want to watch the Super Bowl with lots of other people around, where are good places?
Well, I'll say, first of all, you know, regarding that VIP comp, I've gotten those over the years. And I don't think I've ever been to one I liked. You know, I mean, now, okay, things are free when you get to go. You know, you'll get some drinks and you'll get some food. And supposedly, well, they always have some sort of a special guest or something like that, or cheerleaders or whatever. But I've always found it to be just very, those things to be very stale. And I've always, I couldn't wait to get out of the room and get out to the, you know, into the casino where people are hooping and hollering even more so, you know, in the sports book. So I've always said, you know,
have not come with me.
Yeah, always. Yeah. Okay. But I mean, you know, if you like that kind of thing, then, and you can get it, sure, you know, free is always good. But the reason I bring that up is for those of us who are, you know, the hoi polloi, who don't get those invites, I don't think you're missing much, you know? So as far as I've seen, the best parties seem to be in the casinos themselves, in the sports books. The basic strategy is essentially to stay away from the strip. You know, I've looked at all of these things as they've come out this past couple of weeks, and every day new ones are announced. And some of the strip parties are just ridiculous. They're wanting $200 and you get a buffet, and then you can get an add-on for $70 and you can get free beer. You know, it's just nuts. It's just like everything else on the strip. So why do it? Basic strategy is to go to the smaller joints and go to the locals places, you know, like always. Some of the better ones I've seen, South Point always has its party. And I'm not just saying South Point because they're a sponsor of this show, but they've always had the best old-time party in the theater, where everybody just shows up and it's free admission, and the beers are cheap and the food is cheap, and they have raffles and giveaways and those things. You know, it's a good place to go. Aliante is one of the better ones I've seen. They've got a buffet and all-you-can-eat buffet during the game, and $2 beers. It's $25 for the all-you-can-eat, which is cheap compared to what you're finding in other places. Silverton has a $50 thing for the, I don't know, several hours, a couple hours before and after the game and during the game. You can go to any bar and drink for $50, so everything's taken care of. It's pretty good. Silver Sevens has food and drinks for $50. El Cortez has food and drinks for $50. $70 at the Strat, $100, that's my cutoff, at the Plaza. Hard Rock is going to be interesting because this is the end of the Hard Rock. The Hard Rock closes the day after the Super Bowl. So there's going to be a lot of people in there partying. I think there's like a $45 entry fee. I don't know really what comes with it, but it's going to be an interesting place to watch. Stations all have dollar Bud products. Boyd's have $5 buckets. And then the local bars are always cool. One that's every single year has something good is a place called Sporting Life Bar, where you buy in for like $100 square, and everything comes with it, food and drink and everything else. And actually, if you're a player, they'll comp that for you as well. So that's what I've seen so far.
And the square has, is it an even EV?
Yeah, see, I'm glad you brought that up. Anybody who wants to play squares, there's going to be squares at all the bars. And most of the listeners of this show will understand the equity part of this. But those who don't, you know, you've got to count up how much a square costs, multiply by 100, because there's going to be 100 squares, and then see how that equates with the amount of money they're giving away. If it's at least even, and some places it would go above even, believe it or not. If it's at least even or above, you certainly, you know, you can play that.
How can they give away food and drinks and give back all the money? How is that possible?
They don't all do that. And some of them will cut it. And I think the Sporting Life has cut it a little bit in the past. But when you add up everything else that you're getting with it and the raffle stuff they're giving away, because Sporting Life especially, they give away ridiculous prizes. I mean, like, they give away a TV and they give away, you know, trips and things like that. It's really, really good. If you add up all the equity, it's a positive thing. But some places, that's just, you know, they want to just do the squares on the square. And they bring people in, and they figure they're going to play their machines. You know, that's the main thing. And that they're going to hang out, you know, hang around afterwards. The bars are the best. You know, the bars are the places to go to watch these things, either that or the sports books.
I agree. Bars the last few years done the bar thing. Those are clearly had to been the best times. Just go to a small bar, got the sound on, sit down at a machine. You're drinking. I'm with him on the bar thing.
Yeah, anybody who's, you know, like this week leading up to, if you're a local and you've got a local place, check your local places, because, you know, a lot of them, they just don't advertise, but they've got an unbelievable deal. See what they're offering. I always find, you know, right at the end, I always find two or three places that are really cool.
All right. We thank you, Anthony Curtis. Thank you, Frank B. At the end of every week, Richard and I do what we call recommended. Richard, what do you have for our people this week?
So this week it's a television show that, if you're into movies and television, which I am, it's a show called Close Up with the Hollywood Reporter. And every week they have a roundtable discussion, kind of like this was. One week it might be the actors that were in the top movies of the year. It might be the directors of the top movies of the year, writers, producers. It's always something different. And I just love the show. So it's on the Sundance Channel, which a lot of people don't get. It's also on Hulu, and I think there are some other places. So, yeah, that's a show that I've really been enjoying. That and the other thing, I've been watching The Outsiders on HBO, which is based on a Stephen King book. So been liking that one, too. But, yeah, so that's it for me. How about you?
Well, last week, Richard and invited me to a trivia contest at a local bar. It's free to get in. And the trivia team. Now, Richard's team was his son and his son's girlfriend and Richard and then me. They had eight rounds of like eight questions each. Of that 64, I nailed five of them and probably had the same answer as the others on maybe 10 or 15 more. And some I just did not have a clue. I'm not up on movies and TV shows and a variety of other things. But it was enjoyable occasionally. It took 2 hours. And they do give prizes if to the top ones. And usually, and the prizes is in form of $50 off of your food package next time you come. And so it makes sense to have several people there.
It also helps if they're of different generations.
Yes, different generations. And we have a friend who we thought was going to be there but didn't show up who probably could have helped out. Having several different people makes a difference. So I don't think I'm going to do it very often, but on an occasional random evening, it was pretty good.
I would add they I believe they're nationwide, so if you want to look wherever you live, their website is Geeks Who Drink, and if you just look at that website, then you can look at your state and where they may be in your particular state or city.
Yeah, they do it around town in a few places. In fact, Frank said to me the other day, he goes, "Why don't you do a report in LVA where the trivia nights are?" Because yeah, there's some good ones. The Crown and Anchor does one on Thursday nights at the Tropicana and on Saturday nights at the Spring Mountain. And there are various others around town. And they're of Sporting Life that we talked about earlier does trivia, I believe, on Wednesdays. So there's a lot of good ones if you like to do it. Man, some of those people are good. Jeez.
There's ringer teams that come
in. Actually, my brother does it in Singapore. And, I mean, they're like a professional-level team and went to some – they actually flew to Malaysia for some, like, world championships. So, yeah, some people are really into it. This Geeks Who Drink is a lot more casual.
And very good. That is it. So, thank you, Frank. Thank you, Anthony. Thank you, Richard. Go out and hit lots of royal flushes, everybody. Good day.